to the Jungle. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California and live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I am off next week. I would love to give out a golden ticket or two today before I take off. Once again, you can't get them next week when I'm not here. So you're running out of time. 1-800-636-8686. You know the drill. I've been hammering this every single day. You've got your telephone number. Go ahead and make the use or make the most of it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveAtake.com. The show sets up like this today. John Morosi, not only an MLB analyst, but arguably the most versatile man in all of sports, joins me in about 15 minutes. Lots to cover with him. Former NFLer, Brian Urlacher, in 35 minutes from right now. Second hour is open. In the third hour, LA Lakers guard Josh Hart. The week that was, or the 3 days that were from Alvi. And a lot more on this Getaway Friday. So much to get to. I've got the ATP. Somebody hit me with a good question for the Ask the Pros. Let's get to it. I want to start with the New York Knicks. Got a lot of Knicks talk. Another day, another ton of NBA news. I mean, lots of it, actually. Rudy Gay goes to San Antonio. I think that's pretty interesting. Vince Carter to the Kings at 40. Dirk re-upping with the Mavs. Kelly Olynyk agreeing to a deal with Miami. And then this tweet from Woj. Quote, restricted free agent Tim Hardaway Jr. has signed a four-year, $71 million offer sheet with New York. 4 years, $71 million. Tim Hardaway Jr., an offer sheet. That's a hell of a move. That's a move that says exactly one thing. We are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
I'm going to have to keep that going as a bed, a music bed, because I think I'm going to need something to help me get through this. There are so many things wrong with this. There are so many different problems with this. Starting with the fact that as a player, Tim Hardaway Jr. is not Tim Hardaway Sr. He's not dropping the UTEP two-step on anybody, nor putting up 20 a night year after year after year. Instead, he has averaged 11 points per game for his career as a backup shooting guard. And don't get me wrong, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a nice player, and he's coming off a decent year, and he's gotten a little bit better. But I'm not sure he's the kind of guy that says, the Knicks are back. In fact, a lot of Knicks fans were thrilled when he was gone. But he has improved since he left town. But is he $18 million a year good? You're worth what somebody will pay you, and if that somebody is the Knicks, you could be worth just about anything at all. And as you might imagine, the New York tabloids took the news pretty well. The New York Daily News went with holy sheet. But the worst part is not the fact that the Knicks are throwing around money in really strange ways. They've done that before. You know, like signing a busted up and broken down Joe Noah for $72 million over 4 years. Or signing a busted up, broken down Phil Jackson for $60 million over 5 years. So the fact that they just offered a Brinks truck to Hardaway is not that weird. Nor is it weird that they offered him so much that it's unlikely that Atlanta will match. And I'm not surprised that they're throwing $71 million at Hardaway just 1 year after they threw $52 million at Courtney Lee. Or that they can't seem to make up their mind whether they're tanking or they're trying to win. No, none of that's weird. The real weird part of this is the same Tim Hardaway Jr. who the Knicks drafted in 2013 and then sent to Atlanta in 2015 for Jaren Grant. The Grant who was then traded for Derrick Rose. And now the Knicks will have to renounce the cap hold that they have on Derrick Rose to reacquire Tim Hardaway Jr. In other words, time is a flat circle. In other words, to acquire that which they gave up, they must get rid of that which they acquired in the first place. How incredibly Zen. I thought the Zen Master had been fired because this is a very Zen Master move. Can you even follow what I'm saying? This is the very definition of playing yourself and paying a ton of money for the privilege of playing yourself. Nothing better than having to shell out crazy bucks to sign a guy that you already had. Are they going to sign Bernard King next? What about Starberry and Stevie Franchise? Get Eddie Curry and Q Richardson back together again. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, and I wouldn't put it by him. Because while you can't predict anything, I can guarantee one thing. The Knicks are going to nick, and this time they've almost out-nicked themselves. I say almost because I'm sure they'll find a way to go even more nick than we ever believed possible. Go, New York, go. Go, New York, go. They are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
A Knicks fan, how's that taste? How's that grab you?
Go, New York, go, New York, go.
Go, New York, go, New York. These guys are hilarious. A laughing stock. 1-800-636-8686. You know it's bad if I'm going to be right here in the middle of Southern California and lead with the Knicks again. You know it's bad. And it is. And it can only get worse, Knick fan. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder guard Andre Roberson is having himself a week. And by that, I mean not a very good week. And now he's got a running mate in Scottie Pippen. If this guy's got a running mate in Scottie Pippen, what do you think he did? Or what do you think that he didn't do? I think you probably know where I'm going with that. I'll have that for you a little bit later on. Also, lots of baseball to get to today. Atlanta 5, Washington 2, humanity nothing. Did you see that rain delay last night? Did you see the way the Nats handled that? I mean, the Nats are known around baseball for handling a lot of things all wrong, but that's pretty bad. Dusty Baker's act last night was one for the ages, and they get beat nonetheless. Are they still playing that game right now? A three-hour rain delay with, like, no rain at all? I want to get into that. Chicago Cubs. Man, you know you're sorry. You know you're sorry when the highlight of your first half was having a center fielder throw a scoreless ninth inning and another beatdown, this time at the hands of the Brewers. That's how bad the Cubs are. That's how underachieving the Cubs are. That's how disappointing they are. That was the highlight of their first half. A beatdown where a center fielder pitched a scoreless ninth. And Theo Epstein says, if you're all waiting for me to go out and get us some help, it's not happening. We have everything we need in that clubhouse right now. We're not going to make that move. That may or may not be true, but right about now, Cubs fan, if you don't know where that panic button is, you should find it and jump on it with both feet. Did you see what happened yesterday at Wimbledon? Nasty, nasty scene on court 17. It sounded terrible. It looked even worse. I want to get into that. Don't wait on me. 1-800-636-8686. We'll talk some golf. Hefty crowned a dude yesterday. Hefty nuked a dude's dome. But only Hefty could just charm his way out of it and kind of roll and wobble right on over and hand the guy the ball. Yeah, we're good, right? I just brained you. We're good, right?
Hefty's Hefty.
Sure, it's got nothing to do with the fact that he's got somebody new on his bag. I have that for you, too. One more thought on baseball. The Dodgers did it again last night. What a comeback that was for them. And they do this almost every single night. So I'll recap that for you, too. The smack-off is the 28th. I've been running down the field as much as I can. I want to do it again. I've been trying to talk all week long about the champ, Leffen Laguna. Today might be the day. Might have a thought or two on Mike in Indy as well. 1-800-636-8686. Subject of this is Otis. It's Friday. Dear Jim, cut the freaking Iggy Pop. Hold the deca, yeah. It's Jim Rome's last day before vacation. Let's rip a freaking golden ticket. Matt in Van, Zach in SLC, put them on the clock. Sorry, Rome, back to you. War rowdy and reckless Fridays. Otis in Appalachia. Right, Otis wants me not to give a ticket away, but to rip one. I would love to give away a ticket going into my vacation. I would like even more to rip a ticket going into my vacation.
Get to the chopper!
We'll see if either one of those things happen. At Big L Double E 1970 tweets, personal appearance smack is show fodder, at least for today. 7-7-17. Such a reach. And you're not the only one trying to make that reach. Listen, 10-10-10, 11-11-11, 12-12-12. But not 7-7-17. RM in Glendale tweets, personal appearance smack on 7-7. See, even he gets it. He didn't put the year in. 7-7-7? Maybe 1907 we could have done this. At not a catch, Dez. How long until 7/7/17 personal appearance smack starts? Clone's gonna clone. How long? Like, never. That's how long. Even Stucknut's doing it. Stucknut, I see you left the seventh segment open for 7/7/7 day. Oh, what, you mean 2 p.m.? Personal appearance smack? You've had your time. You've had your fun. You've had your day. It doesn't work on 7/7/17. You know, maybe it's a throwback. Flashback Friday. Maybe I'll give you a taste of how it sounded the last time we did it. But we're not running it back again. Not live. Not new. Again, 11/11/11. 12/12/12. Hell. Clones. 13/13/13. I'll do it that day, too. We're not doing it on 7/7/17. Just like 10 years from today, we're not doing it on 7/7/27. And when I bequeath this show to my kid, we're not doing it on 7/7/37 either. At Stephen Crowtown tweets, did you try the New York Knickerbocker Sando at Ike's? All the good ingredients were thrown away, and a crap sandwich was made with the rest.
We are the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that there.
We are the New York Knicks.
But the crew and I did go to Ike's in Newport Beach. Some of us got the Jim Rome. Some of us did not. It was awesome. So we're at the sandwich shop, and Craig Kitchen was there, and he went up, and he was talking to the manager and said, you know, this is Jim Rome. And of course, they didn't. I'm used to that. That's fine. The manager had no idea who I was, but he was pumped to meet me. And then they introduced me to his assistant, and she has no idea who I am, which is fine because nobody does. But she was pumped to meet me. But it's really funny. They both said to me, did you come up with that sandwich yourself? How did you come up with that? And I said, I didn't. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody hit me up once and said there's a sandwich shop in Berkeley that's got a sandwich named after you. And that sandwich shop in Berkeley is also a sandwich shop in Newport Beach. And there are other locations. So the crew and I went over there for the first time together. And we all got our grub on. Dude, the Jim Rome is incredible. Turkey, avocado, red pesto on French bread. Maybe, all right, no maybe about it. Best sando ever. Best sando I've ever had in my life. And it should have been my lunch and my dinner, but I jammed that right down my gullet for lunch. That was the only mistake I made. That thing is massive. I could have fed my whole family with that sando. I should have fed my whole family with that sando. I could have fed all of Newport Beach with that sando. You know what? I could have fed all of Alvin's kids with that sando.
Dude.
So when you send me that and you ask, did you try the New York Knickerbocker Sando at Ike's? All the good ingredients were thrown away and a crap sandwich was made with the rest. Now, something else I didn't know until yesterday. One of the guys told me that during Super Bowl, when we had Richard Sherman on and he was coming up before the program, somebody said, do you need anything? Can I get you something to drink or eat? And he said, I'd love a Sando from Ike's. So Richard Sherman was also repping Ike's. Get the 65. Get the 65. I endorse it. Ooh, I got to get out. John Morosi coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I've said it before, I'll say it again right now. My next guest might very well be the most versatile man in sports, covering multiple sports and tweeting in multiple languages. Working with Fox Sports, NHL Network, and MLB Network, John Morosi joins us once again. John, good morning. Good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on the show. And yes, this month, with all the trade deadline machinations going on, I'm just trying to make sure that I've got the right players going to the right teams in the right language.
No, I think you got it. The next time you make a mistake about that will be the first. I've never seen it. I've never heard it. You're just fine. All right, now let me start with the Brewers. They smashed the Cubs 11-2 yesterday, John, in a game where Cubs pitchers combined to walk 9 guys. Center fielder John Jay pitched the 9th. How do you explain what we've seen from the Cubs so far this season?
It really is perplexing, Jim, and this is multi-layered. First and foremost, right now, 50% of the Cubs' World Series rotation is now on the disabled list. Kyle Hendricks and John Lackey. Offensively, they've been inconsistent. Kyle Schwarber, of course, comes back from the minor leagues yesterday. He has been a disappointment this season. Addison Russell, up and down. Of course, we had the recent news story about Miguel Montero speaking out against Jake Arrieta and his inability to hold runners. He was then released. So whether it's a World Series hangover, Jim, or just some regression, this is not the same team it was last year, and they still have many of the same players, but maybe they're just off their game a little bit. Of course, a short off season because of the World Series and then the World Baseball Classic this spring. They are just not themselves right now, and the Milwaukee Brewers, Jim, taking advantage. They are now in first place in the National League Central, and I had sources tell me in the last 24 hours they are ready to buy and add to their starting rotation at the trade deadline.
All right, so isn't that interesting? Because they've got the lowest payroll in the majors. They've got five big-time prospects, so it looks like they may be buying at the deadline. What about the Cubs? You've reported that the Cubs had a scout watching Justin Verlander. Could you see them making a move for him, or do you think they'll try to find the solutions from inside the clubhouse and their own farm system?
Well, they're going to try to add, Jim, and they still have a pretty good farm system, whether it's Ian Happ, who, of course, is in the minor leagues right now, Eloy Jimenez, who has had some injury issues this year. They still have, I believe, even after making the Chapman trade last year, enough tools in the minor leagues to make a major splash. And I think, Jim, they will try to add a starting pitcher, even if they're in this 500 malaise that they're in right now, because they have to address their rotation after this season. I mentioned Lackey being on the DL along with Hendricks. Well, also Jake Arrieta is going to be a free agent. He's represented by Scott Boras. So, Jim, that's going to be a hard thing for them to find a way to keep all these guys in the fold pitching well going forward. So I expect they can look at this trade deadline, if they trade for someone like a Sonny Gray or even a Verlander, as getting a head start on their offseason planning, which has to be pretty extensive, at least as the rotation is concerned.
John Morosi joining us. I was going to ask you about Sonny Gray. John, how likely is it that Oakland moves him? And if so, where do you think he might end up?
I think it's very likely now, Jim, that Gray will be moved. His value has really fluctuated a lot the last couple of years because he's had some injury issues. He hasn't overall been the guy that he was in 2015 when he was a Cy Young candidate. But he now has put together three quality starts in a row, which I think has piqued the interest of clubs like the Cubs. Even the Kansas City Royals had a scout watching his most recent outing. So I think the Royals are a possibility there. But the Houston Astros, Jim, they have been the most consistent team on Sonny Gray from the very beginning. I like their chances. I think it's probably going to be either the Astros or the Cubs. Maybe also the Dodgers, because, of course, the connection there, Farhan Zaidi, the now GM of the Dodgers, actually worked with Sonny Gray there in Oakland years before.
You see, it's really interesting, John, because you look at the Astros, and they've got the best record in baseball. But as you pointed out, if you go back to 2015, when they reached the postseason, they did not make a move for a closer, and it came back to bite them. And then you've got the LA Dodgers, so probably the best team in baseball, not named the Astros. Can you see either one of those teams making that big swing, given how well they're playing right now? And if so, who's it going to be, the Astros or the Dodgers?
Well, I think they both will, Jim. I think they're both going to make moves for starting pitching. And I love it about the deadline right now that we're seeing that the two teams that I think are the classes of their respective leagues are both going for the same thing. And they may well meet in the World Series. And that World Series may well be determined by the moves that happen in the coming weeks. Now, the Astros, Dallas Keuchel, we have to watch him very closely because he's on the DL right now. They're optimistic he'll be back after the All-Star break. But he's had a neck issue, Jim, that has lingered much longer than they thought it would, which really makes some big-time concern for me. And of course, they're probably going to downplay their concern over it because they don't want to seem too desperate on the trade market. So the Astros know they have to get at least one more starting pitcher, and maybe even two, but I think at least one impact guy. And again, the same names are in play for probably both these teams. Gray, Jose Quintana, Garrett Cole, maybe J-Hap, Justin Verlander. I think it's that same group of guys. Potentially Irvin Santana if the Twins continue sinking in the AL Central. So watch that storyline there very closely. But the Dodgers, Jim, I've made this point before, but I think it bears repeating. And their guiding principle, I actually spoke with a source about this earlier in the week about the Dodgers' thought process here. Their guiding principle is they have to find a way to keep Clayton Kershaw from pitching on short rest in the first round for what would be the fifth straight season. I think the whole postseason narrative about Kershaw, about him struggling, is so outdated it's not even funny. He actually has the second most quality starts in the postseason of any pitcher in baseball since 2013, but he's been compromised by the lack of a bullpen in many years and then having to go on short rest, which has left him weary by the end of the NLCS. That has to be avoided this year by the Dodgers. As great as Alex Wood has pitched, they have to, I believe, get one more starting pitcher to make sure the burden on Kershaw is not too heavy from the very beginning of the playoffs.
Extremely well said. Alex Wood is 10-0. He's got an ERA of 1.67. John Morosi joining us. John, before I let you go, I've got to ask you about the Toronto Blue Jays. I hate to even bring this up, these two names, because of what they mean, but they've got a pair of exciting prospects in none other than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. Of course, these are the sons of Vlad Guerrero and Dante Bichette. It's insane to think that the sons of those two guys are already making noise, but how good are both of those players?
Phenomenal, Jim, and I'm very excited. We'll see Sunday at the All-Star Futures game on MLB Network. We'll see them both in there, which is almost unprecedented for two position players from the same low-class A affiliate, the Lansing Lugnuts in the great state of Michigan, is where these guys are playing right now. You almost never see two position players from the same Midwest League club in the Futures game because it's usually higher-level guys. That tells you how good they both are. As you mentioned, both have phenomenal big league bloodlines, and also they could impact the thinking of the Jays with their former MVP, Josh Donaldson. They already have Tulowitzki signed there long-term on the left side of the infield. These two guys both play the left side of the infield as well. So their ascent and the promise they have, Jim, could impact the trade deadline decisions of the Toronto Blue Jays.
You should not have mentioned Donaldson. I was going to let you go, John, but now that you did, I got to follow up. What's going to happen to him, and what do you think about his future in Toronto?
Well, Jim, it's a great question, and I was told here recently there's been no real progress on Donaldson in terms of an extension for the Jays, which leads me to believe he is very much in play if the offer overwhelms the Blue Jays. So teams like the Cardinals and Giants are the ones to watch. But, of course, if he hits free agency, he'll be part of that same free agent class as Manny Machado. And the Jays, Jim, they do not want to see Machado sign with, let's say, the Red Sox and Donaldson go to the Yankees. That'd be a tough one to swallow there for our friends from the North.
There it is, and now we are done. He is the most versatile man in sports, covering multiple sports and tweeting in multiple languages for Fox Sports, NHL Network, and MLB Network. John Morosi does it again. John, so good to have you back. Thank you very much. Great job.
My pleasure, Jim. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, John. Take care. He's so good. That's John Morosi. All right, quick timeout. When we come back, we talk some NFL. Brian Urlacher is going to join me. But first, you want to go to LiveNation.com, and you want to do it right now. That way you can buy tickets for U2, Bruno Mars, The Weeknd, Metallica. Freaking these guys. Def Leppard. Incredible country tours and more. All the greatest concerts to give you the best memories are all at LiveNation.com. LiveNation.com. Get your tickets right now. Got Brian Urlacher coming up, but first things first, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Brian Urlacher joins us momentarily, but in the meantime, quick reminder, I've got to ask the pros. In fact, you have to ask the pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question there. I will answer one or more of them later on. In the meantime, sign up and be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. 1-800-636-8686. Somebody make a phone call. Somebody set the tone. Somebody get this thing rolling. The second hour is wide open. LA Lakers guard Josh Hart coming up in hour number three. But right now, we're joined by an 8-time Pro Bowler, a member of the 2000s All-Decade Team, the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2000, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 2005, an Ed Block Courage Award winner in 2011. He was the 9th pick overall in 2000 out of New Mexico, and he appears courtesy of Restore. Brian Urlacher is my guest. Brian, what's up? Good to have you back. How are you?
Thanks for having me back on, Jim. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Brian, how's things? How's life?
Things are good, man. Playing some golf today. Humid weather here in Chicago, but things are really good.
Yeah, I love it. So you're playing some golf and you're keeping busy. Now, Brian, when training camps open up in a few weeks, I know you've got a lot going on, but when you get to this point of the year, is there any part of you at all that still feels that itch to strap on a helmet and get back on the field and hit somebody?
No, not that part of it. Not one bit. I really love watching football now. I've become a huge fan. I've always been a fan, but even more so now that I'm able to watch all the college games, all the NFL games. I get the itch to watch the games and kind of cheer for the teams. But to play, I have no more desire, no itch, nothing.
Good.
I'm over it.
Brian Urlacher joining us. So what have you made of the Bears offseason, and in particular, Brian, how they handled the quarterback situation, first by signing Mike Glennon and then trading up in the draft to get Mitchell Trubisky? Did that make any sense to you?
You know, I was surprised that they signed Glennon. Not that they signed, but they gave him the amount of money. But the NFL, you know, the quarterbacks make all the money now, so I understand that. And to pay him that money and then trade up and draft the quarterback number two really surprised me. But I said this a couple of weeks ago, you know, Coach Fox and Ryan Pace have done a good job in their draft so far. So it's hard to question what they do. You know, they've had some really good young players they've drafted in the last couple of years, so it's really hard for me to question what they're doing. I hope both of those players are really, really good for him. I think Mitch is going to be a good quarterback. I met him a couple of weeks ago. Good-sized kid, good-looking quarterback, got all the measurables you want.
It's hard to imagine, but you were a part of that last winning team in Chicago, the team that went 10-6 in 2012, and then Lovie Smith was fired. So what's it been like watching that team struggle since then?
Yeah, you know, you go 10-6 and you get fired. That's pretty awesome.
Right?
I think they've won 21 or 22 games since they fired him. Yeah, it's been a lot of turnover. You know, I don't really know hardly any of the guys on the team right now. None of the guys I play with are there anymore. Of course, I'm still a fan and I watch from afar, but it's just different, you know, than when I was there. I'm a huge fan of Coach Fox, though. I like what they're doing. He's won everywhere he's went, so I don't see that changing in Chicago.
Yeah, Brian, to your point, though, you go 10-6, and then you get fired, and that's pretty awesome. You talked about the Lovie curse a few days back. I mean, bottom line, did Lovie Smith get a fair shake in Chicago?
At the end, I say no. I think even if we'd have, because we were 10-6, and the only reason we go to the playoffs is because Green Bay lost to Minnesota last game of the year. If they win that game, we're in. So I think he gets fired either way, because we probably wouldn't have won any games in the playoffs. To say the truth, we'd have been the first round, one and done. But I think they fire him either way. It's not just, but you know, I bet you they trade 10-6 right now for what they've had. You know, it's frustrating to go out on a high note. What we felt like, you know, 10-6 is a pretty good season.
Brian Urlacher joining us. You know, when you play well in that town and you're a star athlete in that town, when things are good, there's probably no better place to be. We saw what it looked like last year when the Cubs won the World Series. What do you think it would be like if the Bears were to win another Super Bowl?
Oh, man, I'm glad I wasn't here during all of it. I was here a little bit, but I tried to stay away after they ended up winning because it was just a zoo. You know, it was awesome. The Cubs fans are unbelievable. They're just like Bears fans. They either win or lose, they're going to be there. But if the Bears win, I mean, I hate to say this, but even when the Cubs are winning, the Blackhawks are winning, the Bulls are winning, they're still a Bears town. You know, they want the Bears to win, so I can't imagine what it'd be like if they were able to pull that off.
Brian Urlacher joining us. Brian, this is a great story that former Vikings and Lions receiver Nate Burleson said that when he played the NFC North, there was nobody who was more feared than you. So let me get your reaction first when you hear that. And could you sense or feel the fear from opposing players and especially in the division?
I didn't feel that when I was out there. I didn't really try to impose my will on anyone like that. I went out there and I tried to be as physical as I could every game. You know, some players were better than others, but I had a lot of respect for other players, and I was watching Nate when he said that, which is pretty cool to hear him tell that story. But like I said, I just tried to be physical. I tried to be as mean as I could, so it didn't always come off that way. But I tried to have a good time when I was out there.
I'll tell you one better, Brian. He also tells a story about how he fumbled in a game against you, and that you said to him, "Do your dance now." And he was so upset that the next time he got the ball, he beat the DB, he goes out of bounds, and then he makes a beeline right for you, and he starts jawing at you. He said that in that moment, he realized what a horrible idea that was because you were going to crush him every chance you got. And then he spent the entire offseason being mad at you. So, I mean, you may say to me that I wasn't looking to impose my will. I didn't know I had that kind of impact on guys. But did you have any idea then that you had the kind of impact on guys, not only during games, but throughout the entire offseason? He carried it with him the whole offseason.
Yeah, I mean, he had an issue, obviously. But, you know, what happened was like a third of Thursday, he dropped the pass, and I go, "Do your dance now, dummy." And because he dropped it, you know, whenever they catch the ball, they all want to do little dances and little shakes, wherever they do. And I said, "Do your dance now." In the next play, he catches like a 2 yards, runs out of bounds, and comes over right to me and starts yapping at me. "What's up now, Urlacher?" So it's fun to see guys kind of get pissed off for no reason, basically.
Quote, "Dance now, dummy," Brian Urlacher. Hey, Brian, do you have another one that we don't know about? Another receiver who probably shouldn't have? Give me something. Give me one thing. Another guy that you remember doing something like that who got what he deserved.
You know, not really what they deserve. Like I said, it drives me crazy when guys would do their dances or whatever after every catch. You catch a one-yard route, you do a dance. You catch it. I mean, come on. You got to do it every time. And it just, whenever guys do it, they drop the ball or whatever, they, you know, fumble or when they shouldn't have fumbled, anything that they don't do that they should do, you got to say something to them. But, for pretty much every game, I try and mouth off a little bit to them.
Brian Urlacher joining us. You know, I ran down your whole resume in the open, Brian, but you were also named a member of the College Football Hall of Fame class of 2017. What does that honor mean to you?
That's awesome. You know, college was so much fun. I have such great memories of playing in New Mexico. We didn't win a lot of games. Sorry, there's a lot of beeping going on here. I'm eating lunch here at the golf course. We didn't win a lot of games, but I had such a good time. And to kind of get recognized for that, it's a pretty cool thing because there's not a lot of great players that come out of our school.
You know, as you look back on your career and you look at the way the game has changed, defensively, the rules are very different right now. Do you think the rules are fair to defensive players in 2017?
No, not one bit. And I never felt that way, and I'm always going to feel that way no matter how the rules change. It's just not fair that we can get our knees cut. They can get their knees cut. It's okay. The offensive players, we can barely touch them, and it's a penalty. You get close to the quarterback, it's a penalty. I just wish they would protect the guys on defense a little more with the cut blocks and the crackbacks and stuff like that.
I mean, so clearly it's not the same game that you played, right?
No, heck no. You know, when I first got in the league, you could get away with a lot of stuff. I would have probably been fined a couple $100,000 in my first 5 years in today's game, playing the way I played back then.
Brian Urlacher joining us for a few more moments. He's on the golf course right now. So you got some golf going, you got some fishing also. Now, when people think of you, they think of the shaved head and how iconic that was. But Brian, thanks to Restore, you are sporting some nice hair these days. How did that first come about, and what's that been like for you?
It's been a good thing. You know, I had a buddy who was bald. You know, I've always been bald, but I don't try and hide it because I had a good shape then. I had a buddy who was going bald. And, you know, the people trying to do the comb overs or whatever they try to do to their hairs to keep, hold on. He went and got this procedure done, and he goes, dude, you should get it done. I was like, I don't want hair, bro. I like the way my hair is bald, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, get it done. And the gist of it is, even if I didn't like my hair the way it was, I could still shave it bald and not have any scars or anything. So I tried it. And my wife liked it. My kids didn't mind it. So I kept it. And now I'm a spokesman for the company. So I enjoy it. It's different. It's weird seeing myself bald now because I'm so used to seeing myself with hair.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like you mentioned your wife, Jennifer, for instance, when the idea first came up, what did she make of that idea and what did she make of the hair?
She was all for it, you know, because she was down with the fact that if I didn't like it, I could still shave it. And if she didn't like it, I could still shave it. That was the main kicker for me, is that if we didn't like it, we could still go bald with it. It took a little while to get used to, I will say that, because I've been bald my whole life pretty much, so to see myself with hair was a little odd at first.
All right, so if people want more information, where do they go to get it? Because it obviously works.
Go to RestoreHair.com, real simple. The company's right here in Chicago. They do a great job. They've done a lot of people. They're rocking and rolling right now. Just people. It's amazing how many men want to have hair. I never realized that before when I was bald because I didn't care. But it's amazing to me now. It's such a big deal for guys to have a full head of hair.
Brian Urlacher, my guest. All right, so finally, you're on the golf course. How are you hitting them right now?
I'm hitting my driver great. I just cannot hit an iron. It's driving me crazy. You know, I'll get 120 yards. I got a wedge, pretty much a wedge in every hole, and I can't hit the green. It's driving me crazy.
Another issue a lot of dudes have.
Crazy, man.
Brian Urlacher joining us. Brian, great to get caught up. Always good to have you on the show. I appreciate you, man. Great talking to you again.
Thanks, Jim.
Have a great day. Brian Urlacher. You know, he is one of the most iconic guys, bald guys, you know, like this amazing look. And he said, yeah, you know, it's great. It's fine. But having hair is probably pretty cool, too. I'll give it a shot. If I don't like it, I'll just take it down. And he likes it. And he kept it. He said, it's funny because he says now when I see pictures of myself bald, it's weird. 1-800-636-8686. That's a great story he tells about wide receivers. God, why are these guys always dancing? They make a play. They make a catch. They get 1 yard, 2 yards. They're dancing. Quote, why don't you go dance now, dummy? You know, when he says, I wasn't looking to impose my will, I wasn't looking to intimidate anybody, that's just not me, that's not my game. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that is him, and I think that is his game. That's what made this guy so dominant. He terrorized players. You knew where he was, always. So thanks to Brian Urlacher. Second hour is wide open. In fact, we're open now until the middle of hour number three when we have L.A. Laker guard Josh Hart. Take advantage of it. I talked at the very top about how the Knicks are going to Nick. They signed restricted free agent Tim Hardaway to a four-year, $71 million offer sheet. Hey, look, the guy maybe is better now than he was the first time around, but to give up what they have to give up to make room for him, and is he $18 million a year good? I'm going to say no. Oklahoma City Thunder guard Andre Roberson is having himself a week. He got an extension, a sweet extension, and then how do you go about celebrating that? By going to a restaurant, running up a nice tab, and going stiffy on the tip. Such a bad play. When are guys going to learn? It's incredible to me. When are guys going to learn? Especially rich guys. How do you not know in this day and age that if you come up lame when it comes time to tip, everybody's going to know about it before you leave the restaurant? And they did, and now it looks horrible for this guy. I cannot believe I have to waste time on another take about somebody who doesn't tip. But obviously I do because guys are still doing it. I'm going to save one of you. If there's just one athlete or celebrity that I can save from this, I've done my job. But then again, I really shouldn't have to save any of you from this. I mean, do you need to be told to tip at this point? Apparently, yes. Knicks gonna nick. Nats gonna nat. You saw a player go down on court 17 at Wimbledon, and it was pretty grotesque. It's a bad deal. Very bad deal. Like she took sniper fire or something. I mean, it was bad. Except where were the medics? Was there not a trainer in that house? How long are you going to leave her on the ground screaming? I mean, she was not faking it. That was not easy to see at all. I have that story for you, too. And the LA Dodgers with an unbelievable comeback yesterday. This email reads, Romulus Maximus, speaking as a lifelong Packer fan, Brian Urlacher is one of my favorite players of this generation. He is one of those guys that has made the Packers-Bears rivalry a special thing. Nothing but respect for number 54. War the Bears still being terrible this year. War Jerry Kramer for the Hall of Fame. War the Brewers being in first place in July. Out. There's a lot to unpack there. You've got a Packer fan giving credit to Brian Urlacher when you know they hate the Bears and everything about them. And then he tags it with War the Bears still being terrible this year. And they probably will be. War Jerry Kramer in the Hall of Fame. I have no idea for the life of me how my man's not in the Hall of Fame. Jerry Kramer absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. I can't even begin to fathom how this guy's not in the Hall of Fame. And I hope that happens sooner than later. And the Brewers are in first place in July, and they are way ahead of schedule. That's what was so interesting about John Morosi saying that they're going to be buyers. Not neutral, not sellers, but buyers. They are so far ahead of schedule. I would love to see them make an impact move at the deadline. At BigDog88, WJ tweets, rack him, a pro athlete with no desire to play again. Awesome. Yeah, that hit me the same way. That's a guy who left it all out there. He gave it everything he had, therefore he has no regrets. That's why he doesn't want to play again, because he got everything he could out of it and out of himself, and he has no regrets. The guys who do not want to play again mean that their life is just fine without being the guy, and they've got no regrets, and they don't need to look back. They want to look ahead. Most guys are not like that. This thing was, yeah, I've got an itch. Not to play again, but just to watch the games. I'm a fan. Hey, look, I understand athletes and what they deal with. It could never, ever be as good as it was then, right? I mean, no matter what kind of success you have in life, it's never the same as going out there on a Sunday. It's never the same as going out there in the postseason in front of 20,000 people there and millions more at home. Of course, it's never going to be the same. So I understand the trials and tribulations and the challenges of trying to have a fruitful life after that. But it's true. Rare is the guy who says, oh, no, I'm good. I don't ever think about playing again. I don't want that. Most do want to go back to a better time in their life, right? So we come back with hour number two. Let's talk about athletes who don't tip. I'll hit that next. Consider that me not piling on a guy, but just offering up a PSA. Shake yourself. Go into your